is, if there's a desire I've ever had in my heart that I'll never trump any drug or alcohol that I've ever touched, and that is to live a Christian life. Because it's been a wonderful thing. I didn't grow up having a wonderful life. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up with a King James Bible in my hand. I grew up in the streets. I grew up in jails and prisons and rehabs and mental hospitals. I mean, I've been addicted from everything, the crack, the crystal meth. You pretty much name it. I've been out except for the new stuff that's out there. And I'm just going to tell you, nothing satisfies me the way serving the Lord does.
Amen.
I mean, nothing. There's nothing. For the first time, and I'm not bragging on myself, but for the first time in my life, I'm learning how to be a man. Being a man doesn't mean you have your part that makes you a man. There's a whole lot more to that. There's a whole lot more to that where you can take your wife and your children, and you can take them and lead them the way God wants you to lead them. You know what it is today? It's a joke in the church. And I watch all these men. They're all puffed up and prideful and everything else. And you know what? They can't even rule their own house. They can't rule their own wife, children, grandchildren, anything else. And you know what? It means nothing to them. Yet they'll sit here and they'll tell you that they would die for their children. And yet they're going to sit there and let their children go to heaven. They're going to sit there and let their children do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter. Let's just look good in the church house. My wife sometimes has a hard time with children running around and crying. She's not used to all that stuff. I said, Amy, how would you like it if that child, because you said something, never came back in church again, died, went to hell? How would you feel about that family not coming back with the little running around and screaming and yelling? Might bother you once in a while. Let them yell. Let them run. Let them scream. Let's keep them under in church. Let's keep them underneath the preacher. Let's keep them in the Bible. Let's keep them in Sunday school.
Amen.
Doesn't guarantee them anything. But I guarantee they have a better chance than those that aren't there doing nothing.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you now, somebody who got saved from the gutters, somebody who got saved from the lowest, somebody who's been molested as a child, somebody who had things happen to me that should have never happened, and then went through the things that I went through. I'm telling you now, I wish to God that I would have sat in a church house and somebody loved me the way they get loved here and taught the Bible the way they get taught here. Because of the way I live, because Jesus Christ came in and saved my life, just maybe I'll be able to spare my children that pain and agony.
Amen.
Just maybe. Just maybe that I'm going to be broken in the Morey family for the first time and the LaPlante side of the family. Alcoholics and everything else, they are abusers and everything else. I'm going to break that cycle by the grace of God. I want to break that cycle that ends with them. But how's that going to happen if mom and dad are playing games or just playing church or just playing Christianity or just playing Listen, let me tell you something. This thing is real. We each have children that out here. Not all of us have children, but we have children. And for those of you who don't have children yet, tell me, what would you not do for your children? I think it's time that we buckle down. I think it's time we take this thing a little more serious than we do. America's going to hell in a handbasket. And supposedly us Christians are supposed to be the ones to change that.
But the things that I've seen over the past couple of years, traveling around here and there, if I didn't know better, I wouldn't want to step foot in a church.
But I tell you what, right now, church has lost that flavor. Who's desiring to come in the house of God? They say, man, church pews we have empty here. Oh, we're Black Creek Baptist Church. Where's the workers then? Why aren't we bringing them in? If it's so important to us, if it means so much to us, then why don't we just let these people stay out there?
Oh.
Does it mean nothing to anybody?
Numbers aren't important. That's not the thing. But the hope that you harbor inside of you, that hope that you have, that's important to somebody. And yet you're hoarding it. Selfish. Selfish that we're like that. I'd love to go out there and spread all the hope that I possibly could to anybody. But you know what? Sometimes I can't do it all. I can't do it all myself. You know, I talked to Brother Tim McGrath. I said, thank God for Black Creek Baptist Church. I said, thank God for, you know, we have the Bible. We get to learn and, you know, so on and so forth. He says, you know what? I'm praying that God sends workers to Black Creek. That's something. It's the truth. That's right. Send the four right out of here. I was talking to Brother Doug today. You know, God knows who he needs to send wherever he needs to send people.
But I'm telling you right now, you tell me somewhere right now from Allegheny County, someplace that doesn't need Jesus Christ, right here in Allegheny County, right here in Black Creek. Tell me who doesn't need Jesus Christ. But yet, here we sit. Pastor's been here going on 8 years, seeing the same faces. A few come in once in a while, stumble in, whatever else. But yet, here we are, mighty Black Creek.
Lord.
Anybody willing to sacrifice their life, their happiness, their joy, there's some suffering? Anybody willing to go out there and do what Jesus Christ has done for you? Is anybody willing to do that anymore? I find it hard even here in Black Creek that anybody's willing to do that anymore. And that includes me. I get messed up. But you know what? God cracks my skull open. You know what I say? I sit there and I say, Lord, let's do this thing. I'm more serious than a heart attack because there's people out there that are lost, dying, going to hell, and the only hope, the only Jesus they may ever see may be us, and you know what? We're not showing it to them. The problem is they see too much of me. They see too... Listen, I travel around in public, and I see faces in here. I see faces out in public, and I'm not at this point not the one person, but I see people who claim to be Christians and who are out there living, and you know what? They may not see me in the grocery aisle, and I look at them, I go, that's why people don't come in my church.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't want to step foot in there if somebody saw me like that and I claim to be a Christian. You know why? Because as soon as they leave these doors right here, that Christianity stuff is out the window.
That's
sad. It's sad, but that's where it's at, man. And I see it more than just here.
It's sad that we can't take this thing serious.
Like I said, you got kids, you're going to have grandkids and so on and so forth. Aren't they important? Isn't that important enough to make you want to straighten out, to get in this word here, to get and make them live this thing?
You can't force it on them. I don't ever force salvation on my kids. Once in a while they say, hey, I think I got saved or whatever, good, let Jesus take care of it, blah, blah, blah.
You know, God will show them what they are. It's not my duty, it's not my job to force that on them, but it is my job and my duty to preach to them, to teach them at home, to raise them the way the Bible would have me raise them, to live the way, you know what, my kids watch me. My kids watch me on a daily basis.
Sir.
How you living? You think a child sees you the way you live outside of church is going to want to come into a church? They know you're a hypocrite.
Hello.
I'm just telling you.
The biggest discourager of children wanting to come into church is their very own parents.
Guess where our first missionary field should be? Our home.
Yeah.
Our home. Our home is where kids should learn the Bible, learn to pray, learn to do the things God would have them do. How can they learn that when their own parents can't get a hold of that thing? The Morey family is so far from perfect, it's disgusting. But you ask my kids, we're going to strive for that. We're going to fight the good fight. We are going to push on. We are going to serve the Lord if it kills us. If it kills us. When I go home, I'm still just the Christian I am here. I'm a little more relaxed. If anybody ever came over and I don't feel good or I'm sick, I might be in my pajamas. But I'm fully dressed, fully covered, not half naked, not shirts off. I don't allow nakedness in my house.
My kids don't see me or my wife naked. They don't see each other naked. They can barely see each other, eat their own selves naked. That's how I live in my house.
You know what people do? Most people hear my convictions and think I'm a nut. But I'm going to tell you this right now. This is one of the things the Lord put on my heart to tell me. Each and every person in here has their own sin nature. Number two, each and every person has a tradition or a trait that is passed down from their family. Number three, therefore God has different convictions. There's some common convictions, salvation, repentance, reading the Bible, so on and so forth. But there's some secondary convictions that God instills in every family. Why? To break that cycle and break that mold that's in your family.
Yeah, right. Amen. Amen.
That's why my convictions that are with me and my family may not be what's in your family. Why? Because he knows that's what needs to be to protect my wife, me, and my kids.
That has to be.
Most of you think, oh gosh, you know, look at Dale, he's been growing his hair. I hear comments on my hair. You know why I grew my hair? And Pastor said it to me. I never went around and said a word, not, you know, just letting it grow in or whatever. But you know what Pastor said? He goes, oh, it, you know, it doesn't make you look so rugged or something. It is fierce. You know what I just told my wife this morning? I said, you know what? I enjoy growing my hair. She goes, I said, you know why? I said, because I don't look so darn mean.
I don't want to look mean anymore.
Remember when I gave you the brush? You were so happy.
Yeah, I got a brush from my mom. Listen, I'm even wearing moose and everything. I just don't want to look the way I used to anymore. I don't want people to associate me with that garbage. One of my convictions is, and this has not, listen, what I'm about to say is between me and God, has nothing to do with a single person sitting in here. Please hear me out when I say that. This is my conviction between me and God. I don't wear jeans. Now, are jeans a sin and bad? No, they are not. You go ahead and you wear them. You look good in them. Let me shake your hand. Have fun. But a conviction that God gave me, Dale Moore, was I don't want to wear a jean. Why? Because it associates me too much with the world. It just takes me. It makes me fit in with it. And I'm sick of fitting in with them. You have to come out of my shoes. You have had to walk 40 years and what I went through to understand that I don't want to be that anymore. I'm not just telling you that's not who I want to be. I mean that with all my heart. That's not who I want to be. Therefore, I don't want to be those things. The Lord helps me change those things. It's not pressure for me to get those things out of my life. It's not hard for me to let those things go. Because it's a desire in my heart that I want. My clothes don't save me. Growing my hair doesn't save me. Not wearing jeans and sneakers don't save me. Jesus Christ saved me. It says all things become new. And all that old stuff will just go away. Guess what's happening to me? And not by any force or pressure, except for a few things. Things are falling out of my life. I didn't even expect that was going to happen. But they are. Why? Because God saved me and now He's changing me. You think I feel sad dressing the way I dress? You think I feel bad because I'm growing my hair in and I might be missing a little piece here and there? That doesn't bother me. It doesn't. It makes me so happy that I even have hair on my head now because it's something that I was so rebellious with having any hair and all that kind of stuff. It made you look mean, you know, with the goatee and all, walking around covered in tattoos, saying I had to be a tough guy. I don't have to look tough to be tough.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. And I'm not, you know me. I'd rather just shrug you off my shoulders or whatever than go out there and be a jerk. I want to learn how to handle things different. Because I take this Christian thing serious. That's just a little. So I never even got to read what I wanted to read to everybody, but I did print the verses up, and I got to preach on some. I printed a bunch of these up. These are verses. Listen to me. Please stop being a Bible believer. Be a Bible liver as well. Do what it says. Don't just believe it. Believing it and living it are totally two different things. So I'm going to lay these out over there after I'm done. And please, parents, grandparents, and so on, take these verses. You may know them. But there's a difference between knowing them and living it. Take it to heart and realize those little ones that you have sitting next to you, or you may have sitting next to you one day, they're depending on you. Their soul is depending on how you and Jesus Christ are. How are you with Jesus? How are you? I just know this, and I'm going to say this before I move on to my next thing. I told Pastor this morning. I've come to realize this, that if I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do, and I'm reading, and I'm praying, and so on and so forth, my family flows wonders. If I have a bad day, and I learn how to keep myself under control, and have a controlled bad day, my family does not fall apart. Let me just tell you this. When my family falls apart and then I fall apart, forget it. It's the most. It's like Hiroshima's been dropped in our house. I mean, it just keeps going and it spreads out. When a man has his home, when he has his heart right, his home runs right. Ladies, single moms. When you have your heart right and you're running the house right, it will flow. It will flow. That's a guarantee. And your kids are watching every move you make. I don't care how young they are. Grandchildren, they're watching that. They're watching. Because you know who's going to be the one to tell you? Well, you know what, mom or grandma or dad, you do this in church, but you would never do that there. Why do you do that? They're going to be the ones to ask you that question one day. And when they're not in church, when they're not doing the things that you would hope they would do, when you're in a jail cell or a prison or a rehab and you're going to visit your kids, you're going to wonder, how did this happen? Because you didn't take the Bible, you didn't take the Lord Jesus Christ, you didn't take what He wanted seriously.
There's always going to be a punishment. There's always going to be a pain. Somebody's going to pay something. God forbid it has to be any of our children. Because of our stupidity. Because of something that we could have changed. Something we could have done. I can imagine if Luke and Laura ever walked out
when they got old enough. And I mean, got into a horrible, miserable life. And they came up to me and said, "Dad, do you know why I got into the things I did?" I said, "No, Luke, I wish I did." He said, "Because I watched you and watched how fake you were and didn't want nothing, no part of it." You don't even know how many times I hear that from people in churches. Their kids don't want no part to do with it because they've seen how fake their parents were throughout the whole thing.
Come on.
God loves these children. God loves all of our children, no matter how old they are. He loves them. He wants them. He wants them. The only way they're going to see Jesus is through us, through coming into church, hearing the word, staying underneath the preaching. Don't compromise Bible. Don't compromise church. Compromise everything else. God won't make you suffer for it. Compromise everything else except for church. Compromise everything else except for Bible. Stay in those things. Stay in them. Compromise everything else. Who cares about everything else? That took a lot for me and my wife to learn. That we are not compromising church. I mean, we went through a lot of hard family struggles and wars and all this and that. But you know what? They all know better now. They don't even dare ask. They know I am not. We are going to be in the house of God somewhere. Say something. Hey, we got churches set up no matter where we go visit. No way do I want my back to ever turn on Jesus Christ ever again. Ever. 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 I know there's some young teenagers. The things that I'm running from, you guys are running too. And I'm just here to tell you now, there's many people in here who can tell you now, you're running the wrong way. Running the wrong way. Don't think it can't happen to you. Because you are not safe from anything that can happen. I'm just telling you that right now. You want to be safe? You want to be protected? Right here. King James Bible. Jesus Christ. Staying in church and being happy. I didn't get to what I wanted to say, but I'm going to leave copies out over there. Please, get into it. Listen, I mean, thank God for who He is. Part two of what I'm going to say here is the way to be satisfied. How can we be satisfied? You know, the Bible tells us how we can be satisfied. I'm going to start in the book of Isaiah. I've been studying in the book of Isaiah for some time now, and I tell you, ain't nothing like it. I started studying last week. We're going to be in Isaiah 29. Started studying last week, and for the first 3 hours, I was stuck in verse 1. I studied every name and every place and everything. Why? Because it's interesting to me. If there's somebody in here today who thinks that there's nothing to this Bible, I'm just going to tell you face to face, there's everything to this Bible, there's nothing to you. The problem is there's nothing to you. But this Bible has a whole world. I mean, just a whole world that will open up to you. And that's what I told my wife today. I said, "Amy, if you'll just take it serious and get in that Bible and study it like never before." I said, "There's a whole world in there that will open up to you and discover." And there's times my wife just blows my mind with what God shows her. And of course, I keep it for myself. She preaches to me, you know. That's good. Anyway, Isaiah 29. I'm not even there yet. Isaiah 29, verse 7. Isaiah 29, verse 7. It says, "And the multitude of all nations that fought against Ariel, and even all that fought against her and her munition and distresses her, shall be as a dream of a night vision." Verse 8. "And it shall be as a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wander, cry ye out. Cry, they are drunker, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon the spirit of a deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers see, the seers hath he covered, and the visions of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, 'Read this, I pray thee.' And he saith, 'I cannot find, I cannot, for it is sealed.' And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, 'Read this, I pray thee.' And he saith, 'I am not learned.' Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as his people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent man shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works in the dark. For they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him made, that made it, he that made it, me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him framed it, he hath no understanding? He hath no understanding. And that day he shall the deaf ear, the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind see out of obscurity and out of darkness. No matter what we do in life, without the Lord, there is no true satisfaction. Saved people, especially when we're doing wrong against the Lord, we won't find satisfaction. There are saved people who are sitting in this room today that the Lord is absolutely convicting you and showing you things on, but yet you refuse to do what he's asked you. You keep refusing to do what he says, and you wonder why you have no satisfaction.
Right.
You wonder why you're still out there thirsty. You wonder why the joy of thy salvation, as Psalm 51 says, is not in your life. You wonder why your prayer seems like it's iron hitting the heavens, and your reading in your Bible seems to have nothing to it. It's because God is trying to show you something, and yet you refuse. Therefore, you're still hungry. You're still thirsty. There's nothing happening. Because you're not doing what God has asked you to do. People are out there hungry for their bread of life, but the ways of man are leaving them empty. We read in verse 8, it says, Even it shall be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Why is that? It's because they are looking at the worldly food to satisfy their hunger, and it's all for naught. I'm telling you right now, young people, young adults, those out there who are just show their face in church once in a while, I'm just telling you now, you'll never be filled with the food of this world. It'll never make you happy. All this good right now. Everything's going well. But like Pastor said at the 11 o'clock service, you're going to hit bottom. And you're going to realize, man, I'm still hungry. It's never. Listen, be honest with yourself. As you sit here today and you hear the words coming out of my mouth, you're hungry. But you're not willing to go to the food that God wants. You're trying to fill everything you can with this world. Work, money, ladies, whatever it is. You're trying to fill it with all that worldly stuff. And you know what? You're still starving inside. But you're prideful. You're full of pride. You're all puffy. You can't admit it. You can't admit that you're just still hungry. And you're wondering, why can I ever be full? Why isn't this happening for me? Because you're taking that stuff of the world that you're trying to fill, that void that's in your heart. Take it from me. I did just about every drug that you could possibly think of back in my day. All the drinking and the womanizing and the jails and the prisons and the robberies and the thieving and the money I've had. I mean, I was able to go out there and get limousines and live in hotels. I mean, I had all that stuff. You know what? Still empty. Still hungry. Never got satisfied. I have very little today, and I'm more satisfied now than I've ever been in my entire life. I looked at Amy the other day. I said, Amy, I said, do you think you loved me as much as you do today before salvation? She said, no. I said, Mia, we're more in love today than we have ever been in our entire life.
Amen.
How did that happen? You're supposed to, per the world, you're supposed to grow away from each other.
That's right.
Oh, I tell you this now. God is my witness. As I stand here today, I grow closer to my wife. Week after week after week, I fall more in love with her than ever. That's through good and bad times.
Amen.
Hard times. Hard times. But we both realize and look and go, wow, we needed that. Oh. How many of you people can sit here and say, I really need that spanking from God. I really need him to kick me in the head.
Yes.
But you know what? I've come to that point where I'm like, yeah, I needed that.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, you know what we went through a few weeks ago? Seven. Did we not learn from that? God tells us not to spare the rod in our children. You think he's going to spare the rod in us?
Uh-huh.
Thanks for that one, Chris. He just quoted that, don't spare the rod. I said, man, you're right. we don't spare it on our children, why is God going to spare it on us? We're His children. But there comes a satisfaction from that thing, that hunger. We're not out there. We don't have to go out there and sleep around and drink and all that stuff. We don't have to do any of that stuff. God has given us satisfaction in our own house.
True.
Not that it's perfect. That's okay, though. That's what makes it interesting. I'm just telling you, God knows what He's doing, man. It's a good life. Most of you know my testimony, and I'm just telling you now, when I tell you it's a good life that I have a good life. Hard life. You know, I got broken hardware in my back the last few nights. I haven't been able to move because of my neck. I mean, physically, I'm tore out the frame. But I still get up every single morning. Well, I don't sleep, so I'm up anyway. Pray, read, join hands together, the four of us, before anybody steps out that door. We pray together every single morning. Before anybody steps out that door. Any issues we have with each other or anything, they'll be resolved. Boom, it's over with. We're going to go out there and we're going to live. Why? Because we're satisfied with the things of God. We're satisfied with what He's given us. We don't need to go out there and continue to search and feel empty. I did so many things in my entire life. Oh my God, I'm only 43 years old and I've done so much in my entire life. It almost seems like it's a fable, like it's not even real, that it didn't happen. And I'm just telling you now, if all the things that I've been through, there's no satisfaction. I'm not full. I was never full like I am today with God. But yet people that are sitting in this very church are out there trying to fill with everything except for the Lord. I'm just telling you now, try it. Try what He's given you. Try what He wants to feed you. And stop going after the things that are vain. They mean nothing. One day when you die, do you think you can take anything with you? You all know that you can't. Then why strive for those things? Let them go. And if God really wants them gone, guess what He says about money? They have wings. It'll fly away. Oh, we know what that means. Don't worry about flying away. I mean, whoop. Wait, all that money, where it goes? You know what you're looking at? You're standing face to face with God. He said, now you're going to trust me? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You say you trust me? Then let me take care of you. Do you know God wants to take care of us? He wants to feed us those things. But I'm telling you right now, not until you get to the point where you can trust Him. Guess how you're going to learn how to trust Him?
On hard times.
You're going to go through it. How do we teach our kids what we think they should be taught? We have to put, when they make that mistake, we got to put them through. We got to get them out of it. We got to show them. We got to teach them. Thank God. There are people who are, they eat with the world. The devil and their sin nature feeds them and still find themselves famished. They thirst for the water to satisfy their thirst and are turning to worldly water, the devil and their sin nature, to find no quenching for their thirst. We read again in verse 8 and it says, as a thirsty man dreameth, and behold he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. The bread and water from this world or man cannot and never will satisfy the thirst and hunger in a person. They're waking up and finding that what they thought they were getting never really happened. Either they have missed the mark on their own, they just absolutely missed salvation, or some man has led them down to the wrong watering hole. Spiritual, physical, famine, dehydration, and death is all that will come to one of those who continue to search for satisfaction in one of these places. If you're hungry and you're thirsty and the things that you're doing just can't satisfy you because you're in the wrong place. Spiritual death. Physical death. Separation. That is what's going to happen to your life. Listen, I know you all sitting here thinking, well, I'm not going to die at this age, or, oh, things are going good, I'm healthy. Let me tell you something right now. Wouldn't it be something if you walked out these doors today and dropped in the parking lot? Where are you at with your soul? Has it been filled with the food of God? Has your thirst been quenched by Jesus Christ? Are you a saved, born-again person? Or are you dying and going to hell today as we speak? Tell me, Almighty God, you sit in your seat and you think you know everything. You forget who holds the very breath in your very nostrils right this very second. Have you become so prideful that you think that you have the next day, the next hour, the next minute, the next second planned out in your head and in your hand, and that don't worry, I don't have nothing to worry about. I'm going to walk out this door, I'm going to be fine. He's just saying that because he preaches that to everybody. Guess what? There's somebody who's dropping dead today who heard those very words. They didn't think it was going to happen to them. October, my dad got up, fried 2 eggs, 2 pieces of bacon, 2 toasts. Got dressed, go to his friend's wedding, got all dressed up. By 5:30, he was in the morgue. Sad to say, but I know where my father's at. He never got saved. Never got saved. Never got saved. I know where he's at. There's people sitting in this room today. God's pointing a finger at you right now, and you know it. You feel it. I don't have to point my fingers at you. You're not saved. You know where you're going if you die. But yet you're still willing to spin that spindle and keep putting it to your head. Just one more time. Just one more time. Just one more time. Just one more time. Oh, I'm thirsty. But my thirst has been permanently quenched, eternally. My hunger's been eternally quenched. I don't have to worry about starving anymore. Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go hungry again. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. I'm filled. I'm filled. There's no more searching. It's over. The search is finally over in my life. After 40 years on it, there's no more searching. Now I just get to enjoy the relationship that I have with Him. The growing. My family. My goodness, you don't know how much I love my family. Oh, that's my family. God gave me a family. He gave me to take care of. They're my responsibility. I love it. I know there's people probably sitting in this room right now. You love getting rid of your kids or grandkids. You're glad they go home with their parents or whatever else. You know what? Every time that my kids are off on weekends or they're off and they're not going to school, how much do I love my kids being home, Andy? I don't want my kids going. I love them being right here next to Daddy. Love having my kids home. They get spanked. Ask them. You get spanked, Luke? Yeah, you get tore off the front. They know what they get. I play no games in my house. None. You know, people come in, they see my spankinator. It says the nader for the tater. And it's got a smiley face on there, and that's what they get it with. They know it. You know what? But how many of you guys have your kids trained where you can say, hey, go get me the nader, you're getting the spanking. They go get it, go in the room, pull on their pants, and they get spanked. That's how my kids are trained. You go ahead and fight me for every time I gotta say one word to you, that's another one.
True.
They'd rather not have another one. They'll just take what they get. And they'll carry their own spankinator to me. That's another thing I do. I spank them privately. When I spank my children, I spank them in a different room. The sister or brother or mom doesn't have to have any business in it. That's between me and that child right now. Let me get it right, and then we can involve everybody else if need be. But I'm very private when it comes to that kind of stuff. I have my reasons inside my heart, the reason why I do it that way. The reason why I do it that way. And I'm not going to say it out wide open, but there's a reason why I do it that way. That's just something the Lord gave to me and my children. Spanking and correcting my children is a special time for me. You'd have to know my life to know why it's a special time. My wife knows. Love my children. You know what the Bible says? If you don't correct your children, you hate them. That's what it says. If you don't believe me, go look it up. It says you hate your children. You hate your children if you don't correct them. You know why? Because they can do whatever they want to do. You ever see those kids who get to do whatever they want to do? What a hateful life. I'm filled anyway. I don't know where that came from. That's all right. They're waking up and finding out that they really didn't get what they thought they had. Either they missed it on their own or somebody drew them out and put them in the wrong watering hole. The ways of man, his religion and books will not satisfy any soul. There is one, and his name is Jesus Christ. We see this in Isaiah 32, verse 6. It says, for the vile person will speak villainly, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry. And he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Anything outside of Jesus will not satisfy. It leaves them empty and it will fail. Why? Because in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Many know this verse, but their life shows and proves that they don't believe it. If you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to be satisfied, then why are you not doing it? Why are you not going after that thing? Let me tell you, you ever play out in the hot sun for a long time? You start getting thirsty, and boy, you just can't stop thinking. thinking about a glass of water? That's Jesus Christ. Why aren't you going after him like that? Why aren't you thirsting for him like that? What do you think people are going to make fun of you? Good, let them make fun of you because they ain't helping you. Amy always says, well, what if this person this or that? When they start paying my bills and raising my children, they can say something about my house. Otherwise, you can just keep it moving. Guys, my friends, I love you guys. But I don't live my life for you. Pastor, you know I love you and respect you all, but I don't live my Christian life for you. I don't live it for my wife and my kids. I don't even live it for my mother. I live it first and foremost for Jesus Christ. And I'm a failure at it most of the time. But I do it. That's my heart's desire. You know what happens after that? Everything else just seems to fall in place. Why? Because God put an order and Pastor Haynes really did that this morning. He put an order in our life on the way that we are supposed to live. And when you live that way, guess what? Things fall right in order. Why? Because God knows what's best for us. You guys might be able to get away with things in your house that I could never do in my house or my wife. Why? Because we have different sin natures. We have different things that have been passed down, different traits, different traditions. That there has to be these things set in place in order for God to be able to keep that cycle broken in our lives. But you know what? I'm happy about that. Me and my wife were talking the other day. We're like, you know, people walk by, you smell alcohol on their breath. Makes our stomach absolutely turn. It's disgusting. It stinks. Now you ask my mother, did I drink 7 days a week? I used to carry around 40 ounces of alcohol in my back pocket. Did I not? Drugs in my front pocket. 40 ounces of Old English in my back pocket. Fifth of Jack Daniels in my other back pocket. Money and drugs in my front pocket. That's how I walked around every day. 7 days a week. I made sure that I used to go to the store because at one time they didn't sell alcohol on Sundays. So I would go right before it shut down on a Saturday night and make sure I had enough alcohol to last me all day Sunday. You know what that was? I bought a case of 40-ounce Old English 40 ounces of beer. There's 12 of them in a case. I would drink them on a Sunday. I would drink them every day. Every single day. Before I was 18 years old, 17 years old, in Vermont, I think I was maybe 18 or 19, I was in Vermont. Got in trouble, of course. The doctor said, at this age already, you got the signs of, what's that called? Of the liver, cirrhosis. He says, you're already showing signs of cirrhosis, do you drink? I said, every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Makes me sick now to even smell it. How's that? Huh? Why would I be happy? Why would I be excited when God has delivered me from these things? You know, my teeth, if I can show you my teeth, they're pretty disgusting. There's holes in them, they're always falling out. I've spent, I don't know, a couple $1,000 here in the last few months just to try to get my teeth so they don't hurt anymore. You know why? Crystal meth. Just because I don't do it anymore, it still takes tolls on my bones. It takes tolls in my mouth. It's eating away the calcium in my teeth as we speak, and I haven't touched it for years. I got a hole that was clear through my nose from snorting so much. I was down to 126 pounds. 5 years. I had sores all over me from picking. That's what I went through. Guess what? I don't even have a desire for that. And you know what? Guess what? Guess where a huge quantity of crystal meth is? Right in this area. How many times do you hear about getting crystal meth getting busted? You think I have a desire to go get that stuff? That was the best drug I ever did in my entire life. I absolutely loved it more than anything in this world. I mean, I loved it. And I was only so afraid that I would never be able to control myself. You're right, I can. But Jesus Christ sure does.
Amen.
Why do you think salvation means so much to me? Because those things are no longer filling me. I don't take those things to get what I need. Oh, I love coming to church. I love reading my Bible. I get up in the mornings, and I'm telling you now, I'm more excited to read my Bible every day. There's not one day that goes by where I'm not excited to get up and read my Bible. There is not. I just love it. My family thing kind of looks at me kind of weird. But I love to get up. I love the Lord. You know, there's a song that says, the longer that I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I was always so worried. Gosh, am I going to love him enough? But you know what? The longer you serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Amen.
You know, I couldn't believe that. I'd be able to get more satisfied than I already am. I can't believe that my thirst is going to be quenched even more. But the longer I serve Him, the better it gets. Excuse me, I'm not saying this against anybody, so please nobody take offense to it. I was never raised in a Christian home. Ever. I came from the streets and this hard life and this and that. And I'm telling you now, if a person like me thinks that this is the answer, then maybe you should listen. Because I'm telling you now, it's the answer. Most of you have been into some stuff. You can go ahead and pull the wool over your parents' eyes and trick them and fool them. You ain't doing it to me, okay? I know what garbage you guys are into. I know the junk that you get in. I know the baloney you get into. I can see it in your faces. I can smell it on you. But I'm just telling you this now. If I'm telling you this right here, and Jesus Christ is the answer, and this will fill you up, I'm telling you, I mean that with all my heart. Because Jesus Christ saved you from where you're running to.
My kids, sometimes I tell them it's unfair. My wife goes, why is it unfair? Because they have an ex-convict for their dad. I catch them doing everything. She goes, how do you see that? I said, babe, I'm an ex-convict. Trust me, I see it. She's, am I right? You're amazed at it. She goes, man. I said, yes. I catch things.
Just things I don't physically, I don't come out and tell you things or maybe confront you about things. And trust me, I know what's going on in your lives. I see it. I smell it. I understand it.
Amen.
Why? Because the Lord saved me from it. I'm just telling you. There will never be a satisfaction to it, I promise you, for as long as you live here on this earth. And that may be in the next 10, maybe 5, 6 minutes. We don't know.
Amen.
You know what? Before I'm even done preaching here, I might just drop on this floor. I'm all right with that, though. I feel bad for my family, but I believe the Lord will take care of it. And I'll be in glory. I'll be waiting for whoever's saved. I'll be standing in front of Jesus Christ and He'll be looking at me and I'll be looking back at Him for the first time in my life. And I hope that I act proper enough to get on my face to His and kiss His feet and thank Him for everything He ever done for me. Because what you guys see, it may not be much to you. But what Jesus Christ has done for me and my family and is still doing is a whole lot better than any money anybody could ever pay me. You can't pay me enough to walk away from this life. You can't pay me enough. I don't want it. You can have your foolishness. Have at it. Have at it. Man, I told my wife the other day, I'm sorry, I get so excited about salvation still. Because I do. I'll be at home just get riled up. Just all riled up about salvation. Just, I'm happy, I can't believe it. I'm saved. Woo! You know why? I was diligent. I was diligent. And the Lord said, it's time. And I'll tell you what. Oh, boy. Everything that I was ever told by man, they were so far off after salvation. You know what it's like? I can't tell you what it's like because God's going to deal with you on His own. And when He does, it's going to be the most wonderful thing to ever touch your heart, your mind, your body, and soul. For the first time that night, I remember going to bed. I mean, I was hyper though. I was really ready to go out and preach and everything. And my wife's like, gosh, you got to go to bed. I'm about running through the house. I finally got calmed down enough after salvation. You know what happened? I slept without pain pills. I slept without sleeping pills. I slept without alcohol. I slept without everything. For the first time in all those years, I finally had a peaceful night's sleep. Peace came over me like never before. You know what? It still hasn't left. My peace hasn't left. I go through wars, and I'm telling you, I'm in the trenches, and I'm digging, and I'm fighting, and I'm going through it. And I mean, I'm praying myself through it. Please, I'm yelling at help me. I mean, I'm in my house. I want to help me, Lord. Please, I can't do this myself. I got my Bible in my hand. I'm praying the verse of battle. Help me, Lord. Show me what is it. Please, ask Him. I'm sure they hear me sometimes back in there yelling, and just please show me, reveal to me what it is, or I need it. I'm addicted to Jesus. I'm sorry, but I am. And I don't mean to use that as in a bad way, but I am. I want. That's what I want. Why? Why do you think that's what I really want? Because I've been satisfied, Doug. My thirst has been quenched. I'm not hungry anymore. Oh, God is good. He's so good. Mark 8:4, we see Jesus' disciples ask a question. Because Jesus wants to feed them, and so they ask, and His disciple answered and said, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Right at this point, they know who Jesus is. But they looked at Jesus the way man looks at him today. They see him as a man and not God. They believe he is Jesus but forgot that he is God. And they ask him, how can a man satisfy their hunger? Jesus not only just fully man, but he was also fully God. And he gives them the answer they're looking for. And you know what he does? He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't chasten them. All he does is tell them this. And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and he gave thanks. And he broke and he gave it to his disciples and set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded them to sit also before them. So that they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that were left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. Notice in those verses it says 7 loaves. That's perfection. That's the Father's perfection. That's being perfectly complete. He took 7 loaves and he fed 4,000 people. Because at this point, Jesus was showing himself God.
Imagine.
Jesus was showing himself God.
Yep.
How would he do that? Use 7 loaves. He's saying, you ask, how can a man feed this many people? Jesus showed him, I'm not just a man. But I'm God, and I'm going to show you how God does it.
Yeah, amen. It's good.
And he fed them, Pastor. And they
right, sure.
You know what happened afterwards? He sent them away. Why? Because they were satisfied.
Yeah, amen.
How many people are going to walk out of this church today satisfied because of what they heard at the 10 and 11 and 1 o'clock service? How many people are going to walk out and say, man, it's good to be in the house of God? I really mean it.
Yeah, amen.
That's satisfied. So anyway, so God, Jesus was showing himself as God to prove that no man or his ways can satisfy, but God can. Verses 8 and 9 says, they were filled, satisfied, and he sent them away. Satisfaction came from Jesus, but with man they would have been continued to be hungry. You know, if a man would have tried to feed them, they had 7 loaves and a few small fishes. It was impossible. It would never have been happening. But God made it happen. Jesus stood there, broke those, said, thank you, Father. Broke that 7 loaves, broke those small fishes, fed 4,000 people. If they would have went to man, there was no way it would have ever happened. Mm-hmm. Do not see that today? Can you not see what Jesus was trying to teach you in that parable? That, listen, you are not going to go anywhere outside of him and ever be hungry, be satisfied. It's going to take God to feed you that. It's going to take God to step inside there and change that thing. Let me ask you something, Mom. How violent and angry was I? Pretty brutal, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
You see me jump off porches and beat people up and just do all kinds of crazy stuff. Let me ask you something. Do you think man could have took that away from me? Man put me on all kinds of pills and everything else and told me there's nothing else I can do for you. Then Jesus Christ stepped in and took that all away from me. Let me ask you something, Amy. Do you guys get abused, beat up, kicked around? All that? Do you guys get that? Is that what you get? I get delivered from my own anger. How's that? My own anger. The very thing I remember telling Amy just a few short years ago, Amy, I'm still so afraid of myself. I'm afraid of my anger. I'm afraid of what I'm going to do when I lose control. Why? Because I did it for so many times. That fear, I had that fear no more. Honestly, Amy, you know that fear used to keep me up at night from even sleeping. I was so afraid to go to sleep because I didn't want to wake up angry the next day because I was afraid to lose that much control of myself. Not anymore.
Amen.
God filled that. Oh, but go ahead, keep running to man. Go ahead, keep running to what the world's going to give you. Go ahead. Just keep going the way you're going and see how much you're satisfied. I guarantee you this, you won't get much out of it. It looks good for now. You're all right. You can pat yourself on the back and think you're doing a good job. But when that cookie crumbles, you tell me, where's it crumbling? I'm hoping and praying to God one day that when it crumbles, you'll crumble at the Savior's feet. That's where you belong. You belong at His feet. Anybody thankful that in the next 10 seconds you might be alive? John 6:32-35 says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. Talking about what man gave him. But my Father give you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. What's that say? You might hunger here and there. No, it says you'll never hunger. He's talking about eternally satisfying you. Go ahead and take that hunger right out of your life. He says you'll never hunger. It'll be over with. I know, listen to me, man. I know you got all that pride and you got to be a man or a woman and you're all tough and you're all this and that. But you know as I know, as I'm standing here before you today, that you're hungry besides what you for more than what you have.
That's right.
You know you are. You know you are. He says, he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We've seen this take place in Mark 8. And we see it in the believers' lives today. They are satisfied with what Jesus gave them and have been sent out. Isaiah 58:11 clearly shows Jesus is the only one who can satisfy our thirst. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. And make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Whose waters fail not. You notice man's waters fail. He says, you'll be like a garden that's well taken care of, well watered. He says, you know what? It won't fail. What happens when you take care of a garden and do it right? What happens? The thing looks good. It's healthy. It grows up nice and strong. That's what we are when we have Jesus Christ. That's what we are when we have Him as our water. Yeah, look, I'm growing bigger this way. But He's taking care of me.
Amen.
I came in. How much pain did I come to church in this morning? I'm moving around pretty good right now. I believe the Lord just puts a special hand on me when I get up here to preach. I believe that. But call me nuts. I don't care what you call me. I've been called a whole lot worse than what you can call me. But for some reason, when I get up here and preach and I say, Lord, you take over, move me out of the way because I'm nothing. You go ahead and take over. I feel pretty good up here right now. Don't ask me that in about an hour. I'll be falling asleep in my chair. I'll be absolutely slap wore out. Price to pay to preach. Price to pay to live a life for God. There's a price to pay. Who's willing though? You're willing to turn to man. You're willing to go give him your money to help you with your medications and everything else. But you won't come for free to God. Take me, Lord. I'm not standing up here like I'm some superhero, like I'm holier than thou. I am not. But I'm telling you now, I'm 100 million quadrillion times better than I ever was for the last 40 years. And it has nothing to do with me. You know, sometimes I pray, Lord, if... You know, I know you changed me. I thank you for the different life you gave me. If you could just start making some of these tattoos disappear, I'd be happy. And that's how far separated I am from. I hate them with a passion. I hate my tattoos. My wife knows I hate them. But the Lord saved me, and you know what? He left them right there where they are. And I hate them. I mean, they're embarrassing. They're not cool. I don't think they're good. I love them. You know, this is great. I think they're very disgusting, and I hate them. I hate my tattoos. And I'm just going to tell you that right now. And my mom knows I used to be addicted to tattoos. That's obvious. But I despise them on my body. And I mean, I despise them on my body. I despise them. But it's part of what God saved me from. Part of who He saved me from. This is how I am. He left me this way. I despise my neck and my back hurt. He leads me this way. I believe God has to lead me in a position where He can keep me right where He wants me. I believe that. I believe there's certain things and certain ways about me that maybe you guys can be okay with, but God has to keep a little tighter thing around me so I can stay right where He wants me. You know why? Because God doesn't always want to punish me. It's all, you know, I have mercy on my kids once in a while. I know they deserve a beating. You know what? I have mercy on them and I'll spank them. I have to sit down and have a talk with them. And sometimes I believe that goes a longer way than just always beating them. Now they get it, though. Don't get me. I ain't telling you not to spank. I spank. I don't enjoy spanking. I just about cry every time I have to spank because I don't like spanking my kids, but I do it because I love them. You ask my kids, why does your dad spank you? They're not going to say, oh, for him, because he was mad, or because... No, I do it for them, not me. I take no pleasure in spanking my children.
I want to say, you don't do it while you're mad. You wait, make them wait a half hour, and then you go in.
There's a testimony right there. She knows. I never spank my children angry, ever. Ever, ever. I just won't do it. When I approach my children, I'm going to be calm. And they're going to understand why I'm coming after them. If I come after them angry, they're going to get the wrong impression. Dang, Dad's mad at me. He don't like me. He hates me. No, I do not.
You wait and then you
wait. I come after them when I'm nice and calm, and I explain to them, you know why you're getting it. And I love you. That's why you're getting it. And then afterwards, I leave them in the room. They do what they have to do. They can scream, cry, whatever they want to do. It's fine. When I walk back in, me and Luke talk, shake hands, hug, leave. Me and Autumn, after we're done talking, I give her a little kiss. You okay? Yep, we're okay. Good. It's over. It does not get brought up in my house again. I pity the fool that brings it back up in my house again. They paid their price. They're not paying it again.
Bad.
Left alone. Anyway, you know where that came from, brother? Being fed and watered by God.
Amen.
That's where, this is the position I stand in today. Because I take, like I said at the beginning, and I'm done. I didn't get the chance to finish everything. It's all right. I said what I said today in the very beginning because I believe that every parent and grandparent, aunt, uncle, you need to look at your children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews. You need to look at them and say, are they worth it?
Come on.
Are they worth it? What's it worth to you? I guarantee you this. There's one thing that I know for 100% sure, brother. I know God satisfies. I know He cures the thirst, and I know He is satisfied because He is the bread of life. And He says, never again. And what did it say? One of the last verses I read said that you'll never thirst, hunger or thirst again. And He means that. Turn to God. Be patient. He'll work it out in your life. And I'm done. Thank you.